Second hour DDC on this Tuesday morning. Darren McFarland, Will Adonik, Derek Mason with you. Adam Vingan from The Athletic has released a new article. It says Predators ownership can no longer stay silent about the direction of the franchise. Adam, tell us a little bit more about it and tell our listeners a little bit more about it and why they need to read it.
Well, it's always good to pay for good journalism, which you can do at theathletic.com. So that's why you should read it. I have to get my sales pitch in there first.
But, this show has paid for it, and this show has read it, so yes.
Yes, I appreciate the patronage of the DDC and The Athletic. But, you know, you guys have known me now for more than 7 years. And you know that I don't manufacture outrage, for lack of a better term. You know, I have to have a pretty strong opinion on something to take such a stance like the one that I did last night. And to your point, the summary of the column, which you can read right now, is that after what has transpired in this postseason, the Predators were swept for the first time in their history. The series really wasn't all that close, either on the scoreboard or from an analytics standpoint. I think we all had the assumption that the Avalanche were head and shoulders above the Predators, and that was that came to fruition. I mean, I gave the Predators a 5-game series. They didn't even make it that long, just because I didn't think they would get swept, but they did. And my point is that for several years now, for at least as long as I've been here, and even probably before then, which the three of you can speak to, you know, Predators ownership has taken a hands-off approach to the daily running of the franchise. They leave that in the hands of Sean Henry and David Poyle. And Sean and David have done an excellent job of building this franchise to where it is. We've seen it with the events they've put on, with the success that this team had had on the ice. You know, I think they should be commended for a lot of the work they have done. One of their responsibilities as president and GM, respectively, is to speak on behalf of ownership, which prefers not to make public statements. I don't think they can get away with that anymore. I think that, as I said in the article, the 17 members of the Predators ownership group are highly, or were highly, because I believe some of them are retired, highly successful business people. And what made them highly successful business people is the fact that they know a floundering product when they see one. On the ice, the Predators have hit a point of diminishing returns. This is a franchise that has not won a playoff series in 4 years. At this point, I know that at some point David Poyle is going to speak. When I attempted to speak to ownership last season when things were going south in the first half, Sean Henry spoke on their behalf. I don't want to hear from them. I want to hear from ownership. I want to hear from the people who have a financial stake in this organization, who have spent millions of their hard-earned dollars to buy this franchise, to save this franchise, because what the product that they, in by extension, are putting on the ice is flatlining when it counts. And I'm sure at some point in the next couple of days we're going to hear from the principals. We're talking to the players today. I'm sure David will speak shortly thereafter. Perhaps John Hines too. But I just think that, as I said in the article, and like you said, I'm not someone who just goes out of his way to insult people without thinking about it. And I don't even think it's an insult. But in my opinion, to the many fans who pay to watch this team, when it comes to discussing the on-ice direction of the franchise, David Poyle has become an unreliable narrator. I don't want to hear from him about it. I want to hear from Herb Fritch. I want to hear from ownership about where this team is going and why their fans, their consumers, should continue to spend their money watching a product that is clearly heading in the wrong direction when it comes.
Well, Tom Sigurand, wasn't always available, but he was pretty available for a good while. Would you agree with that?
I don't know if I ever interviewed Tom Sigurand. I think for a lot of the time I was here, I think that's when that transition happened between between Tom and Herb. Okay. As far as I know, and when it comes to discussing the state of the team, I don't know if Herb – I mean, I know that Herb has done interviews, like when that transition happened, maybe released a public statement via a spokesperson, but I can't recall a sit-down interview where Herb Fritch discussed the direction of the franchise.
So do you – you know, and I've just been trying to sift through it this morning through your article, and I don't really see where you've done that. And I understand that's kind of a deep dive, but I'm just asking you if maybe you've talked to some of your colleagues at The Athletic. Is, like, in professional sports, like, it really in this dynamic here, the Titans, I mean, Amy Adams-Strunk has done a better job than her father, but still publicly – she is can be visible and seen at a luncheon or what have you, but like actual public speaking, like doing radio shows or TV hits or not, she really isn't visible. So we really have never had that dynamic in this. Now, Leopold obviously was completely the other way. Craig Leopold was very accessible as the first owner of the Predators. I guess my question is, Adam, is this common? Is this not common at all? Like, when you talk to other people in other markets, do they have kind of the same setup where rarely does the public or the fan base hear from the ownership group?
You know what, that's a good question, and I think there are certain examples of owners who are more front and center in the NHL specifically. I think of Bill Foley in Vegas. I think of Ted Leonsis in Washington. I think of owners who are accessible, who do speak about the direction of the franchise on a regular basis. For example, I believe it was the Las Vegas Review-Journal had a story last week in which Bill Foley told them on the record that Kelly McCrimmon would be returning as general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights. That is not a setup that the Predators choose to use. And I think for the most part, I think ownership, you know, the other example, the late Eugene Melnyk, he in Ottawa, he was very visible, sometimes to his detriment, which is part of the issue sometimes when you have an owner. Look, we see Mark Cuban out and about, Jerry Jones. Sometimes they can put their foot in their mouth, but they're out there, they're accessible. And I think for the most part, NHL teams, and I think a lot of pro sports teams in general, use the model that the Predators use, in which the owners delegate to, you know, a president, a CEO, a general manager. So I don't think the Predators are doing something that's out of, you know, uncommon in sports in general. I just think in this particular instance, the Predators are in a place where, if David Poile takes the podium at some point this week or early next week or what have you and says, you know, we exceeded our preseason expectations. Nobody expected us to make the playoffs. People are going to immediately tune out because that's not what they want to hear. As I wrote in the article, just making the playoffs became unacceptable to the Predators consumers a long time ago. In 2003, 2004, sure, that was acceptable. Now that they've been in the postseason 8 consecutive years, that they've been to a Stanley Cup final, that they've won a President's Trophy, just getting in doesn't matter to them anymore. And I just think that the people who have a financial stake in this franchise need to recognize that, because I think they are at a demarcation point, I guess you could say. I think how they handle this situation is going to go a long way in determining where the consumer confidence is in their product, because as at this moment, just based on my conversations with Predators fans, the atmosphere in the building, the comments on my stories, I have not seen consumer confidence as low as it is currently in the on-ice product in the 7-plus years I've covered this team.
What is the biggest question you get? What is the biggest feedback you get from readers?
Regarding the direction of the team?
Just what you're talking about, yes. In other words, if they were to talk, what would be the main question? What would be the question people would want to know?
I think that people would want to know what the plan is for the general manager position if and when David Poile is no longer in that position. Because I went back, I don't know why I was doing this research, but I went back and found an article from the Tennessean written by Jessica Bliss in 2018. It was about David Poile. It was a long feature. Jessica Bliss always did an excellent job writing those features. about David Poyle when he became the winningest general manager in NHL history. And you scroll, you know, it was way down in the article. And there was a comment from Tom Sigarin, who was the chairman at the time, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said to Jessica on the record that David Poyle has a contract that keeps renewing automatically. If that is the case, what are the repercussions that David Poyle faces for his team continuing to trend downward? If his contract automatically renews, you know, coaches get fired, players get traded. What pressure is David under if he has a contract that keeps renewing, if that is indeed the case? And I think another fear, one of the things I posited in the article is perhaps the Predators should consider splitting the roles of president of hockey operations and general manager, and have David retain the position of president of hockey operations and install a general manager who works in tandem with David, but that general manager has the final say over personnel decisions. I believe that there is a significant fear in this fan base that that GM will be Brian Poyle. And I think Brian, who works incredibly closely with his father when it comes to putting this roster together, I think Brian is at a distinct disadvantage just because of his last name. I think Joe said it this morning, that Brian could be a great hockey mind, and he's paid his dues, but his last name is Poyle. And I do not think that's going to fly in Nashville if the decision is that Brian is installed as general manager. I think fans want to know if there is an appetite from ownership to bringing in someone from the outside with a fresh perspective, because David, of course, has been with the organization from the beginning. Brian has been working with his father for a long time. Jeff Kelsey has been in the organization since near the beginning. Scott Nickel was a Predators player who's worked his way up. There are very few outside voices making decisions about the hockey operation. I think fans would like someone to come in with a fresh perspective who has no previous ties to the organization. Those are the things that I think fans want to know more than anything else, and that's why I think ownership needs to speak to those questions.
I would love for Willie and Derek to toss a couple questions your way. Can you hang through the break?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. We'll come back more with Adam Vingan from The Athletic. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, we're talking Nashville Predators. Predators eliminated from the playoffs last night by the Colorado Avalanche. And we're talking to Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, I enjoyed your article for sure. Great discussion we've got going here. I do want to challenge you on a couple of points here. First of all, when you say that there is a sort of a diminishing path that the Predators are following here, I mean, you cover this team. You understand what the salary cap looks like. The Predators have gone from one of the oldest teams in the league to one of the youngest. They have followed through on the competitive transition, which started off being called competitive rebuild. David Poyle redefined it. So you have followed his logic. So are you saying you're not clear on the path and the plan that the Predators have put forth? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last couple of years, you did not predict them to come anywhere close to making the playoffs. So I see a team that's overachieving while getting younger. I see a clear plan. Are you saying you're not sure what the plan is going forward?
I mean, you're right, Willie. I will say this, first of all, I did predict that this team would miss the playoffs this year, and I am typically terrible at making predictions. So I was wrong in that regard. I understand where David was coming from when he made that comment. And look, I think as soon as competitive rebuild came out of his mouth, I believe that was in the aftermath of the Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Ellis trades last summer, I think he almost instantly regretted it, because it sort of became an inside joke among Predators fans. And as you said, he did redefine it, I believe, right before the season started, and called it a transition. And you're right, Willie. This team did get younger, for sure. They moved on from older players: Arvidsson, Ellis, Kelly Yarncroke, Pecorine retired. You know, they installed younger players and higher roles. And I think that makes sense. Where I'm a little unsure of where this is going is this. It's twofold. One is something that we've heard a lot. I'm sure you guys have talked about it a lot. I know I've said it a lot. That this team, which, based off of preseason expectations, yes, did overachieve in the eyes of many, had its first
of almost all
goal scored. I'm sorry?
Of almost everybody.
Right. I mean, I can't recall anybody who was high on this team when the season started, including myself. I admit to that. But this is a team that had its first two 40-goal scorers ever, had the league's first 90-point defenseman in nearly three decades, had an all-star goaltender who was named a Vezina Trophy finalist today, the rookie leader in goal scoring, and still needed 80 games to make the playoffs in the last week of the regular season, and was outclassed by a far superior team in the postseason. That's number one. Number two.
Right. Without UC Saros playing in the series, for sure.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to be a factor that contributed to the level of competitiveness.
But even when UC was healthy before he suffered the injury, pre and post All-Star break record wise, this team was vastly different. I believe it was 28-14-4 before the All-Star break, 17-16-3 afterwards. That may not be correct. I believe that's what it is. The other thing that concerns me a little bit about where this team is going is if you look at other successful on-the-fly rebuilds, the one that always comes to mind to me, is the Boston Bruins. Several years ago, the Boston Bruins, I believe, missed the playoffs in two consecutive seasons. But they still retain the core of their teams that won the championship. Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, Zdeno Chara, David Krejci, Tuukka Rask. But they had an 18-year-old David Pastrnak and an 19-year-old Charlie McAvoy, who were stars in the making. I think, look, a lot of young players on this team took big strides this year. I mentioned Janot. Jakob Trenin was fabulous in this playoff series. Fabulous. Alex Carrier, Dante Fabro, Philip Tomasino. But at this moment right now, and again, things change. Ellie Tolvanen, let's throw Ellie Tolvanen in there too. Things change. I understand that. But to me, from what I've seen, and yes, they are young, none of those players have the ceiling of the players I just mentioned. I don't look at any of those younger players that I've mentioned and the younger players that had larger roles on this team and think, that when the time comes for Roman Josi or Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene or whomever to move on, that is going to be the guy who stirs the drink. You know, I don't see that. And I think to have a successful competitive transition, you need to have young up-and-coming stars in the making. In my opinion, there's only one on the roster, and that's UC Saros, and he's 27. So it's not as if, though, he's 23, 24. I thought Connor Ingram played admirably considering the situation. But when I just think about where this team is going, there isn't a player that stands out to me among the younger players and says, that's the future of the next generation of the Nashville Predators. But you look at Colorado. I mean, Cale Makar, you know, there's going to be a time where Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog and Mikko Rantanen move on. Cale Makar is a star right now, and he's only going to get better. I don't see that with the Predators. I don't see that guy. And that's why.
Right, because they don't pick first. They don't pick first or third in the draft. MacKinnon was the first pick overall, and Makar was the third pick. And so they had to go through some horrible seasons
to
get those guys. Adam, all I'm saying is, when you say you want to hear from the owner, you want to hear from other people, I just don't know why it's unclear what they're doing. Well, I don't know if the plan's going to work either. Nobody does. Everybody's got a plan. But They have told you what the plan is very clearly. They haven't deferred from it. They have become a younger team. They've created cap space. They have flexibility to address some of the needs you're looking for. They're not going to pick first because they've been very consistent in a winning team. And it's not an aging roster that is hanging on like it was, I think, arguably in 2020. They were at a crossroads there. But they've addressed a lot of those things. And I think they have the ability now to try to add pieces to get back up to an elite level. So all I'm saying is when you say you want to hear from the owner, I just think that they've been pretty consistent of what they've said their approach has been, and they've stuck to it. So I don't know what the future holds, but I think based on the expectations the last 2 years, I think they've done a tremendous job to stay in the playoffs while trying to turn over the roster, which is a tough, tough needle to thread.
No, I'm not completely soured on the idea.
What would Herb Fritch say that would differ from what David Poile says, or Sean Henry, or whoever you want to hear from that you haven't heard from? What message would be different from them, do you think?
Well, that's for them to decide. But for me, it's just a matter of when I say I want to hear from ownership, it's not necessarily about every single thing that's happening on the ice. I just think that we've talked about this, and look, I've been here. My time in Nashville coincides with the first of the 8 consecutive postseason appearances. When they lost in the first round to Chicago, you saw the start of something. When they pushed the San Jose Sharks to 7 games in the second round, you saw that continue to build. They made it to the Stanley Cup Final. They won the President's Trophy. Since then, it's been trending downward. And I understand that making the playoffs in the NHL, more than any other sport, it's more of a lottery, so to speak. You know, in the other sports, the top teams usually get there. I mean, there is very little intrigue in the NBA playoffs because you know the top teams are ultimately going to get to the NBA Finals more often than not. The beauty of the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs is that, as we always say, anything can happen. I just think that you know what it is, Willie. I'll try to sum it up best. For me, I want to hear more from ownership about David Poile, just because I like. You can correct me if I'm wrong, and you've been here from the beginning. I have not. I am not sure I have sensed more vitriol towards David Poile than I am right now, and that includes in the first half of last season, when it looked like this team was headed towards the bottom of the league. I just think that when it comes to David Poile, I just think that fans are losing confidence in his ability to put together a championship-caliber team rapidly. They're losing confidence rapidly in his ability to do that. And I think it's ownership's responsibility to speak to what the immediate future of this position, of that position, holds, considering where a lot of their consumers are feeling right now.
Now, Adam, before we get you out of here, I got a question for you. It's a two-part question.
All right.
Now, David's been here 20-something years, and you know, in your article, and people, you need to read Adam's article. It's a really good article, in particular, Pred fans. And it sort of breaks down a few things here. But taking away some of that responsibility is either you're the GM or the president. Now, if they say, hey, listen, you're just going to be the president, they go and get a GM. So does the GM then get a new coach? Because you know how this is, that if a GM comes in, he's going to want his own guy. And if indeed they do bring another GM in, what is that timetable? Because you still have Philip Forsberg that you need to sign. So do you do it before? You do it after? When do you sort of make these transitions?
Yeah, that's a good question, Derek. And I think that when it comes to, you know, when oftentimes, at least when teams make these moves, I mean, we saw some of them in the league midseason. Marc Bergevin in Montreal was dismissed from his job in the middle of the season. And keep in mind, the Canadiens were in the Stanley Cup Final last year, and it was, you know, a miraculous run, but they got there. And now, you know, he's no longer in that position. It is a really interesting dynamic because there are multiple teams in the NHL that have a separate president of hockey operations and a general manager. And, you know, for example, in Vegas, George McPhee, longtime general manager for the Washington Capitals, and then the original general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, is the president of hockey operations, and his second-hand man, Kelly McCrimmon, is the general manager. And they work in tandem. I don't know exactly how the power dynamic works, as in, like, who has the final call on trading for Jack Eichel or signing Mark Stone. Like, I don't know that. But, you know, I think if there was going to be a change, I would agree with you that it would need to happen sooner rather than later, because if you have any reservations about David continuing in the role that he's in, you don't want him negotiating with J.P. Barry, Philip Forsberg's agent, on a new contract or preparing for the NHL draft. So, you know, and to your point about coaches, I mean, very rarely do new GMs come in and keep their coaches. And if they do keep their coaches, they don't keep them for very long. So, and that's another question. Look, I've been impressed with the job that John Hines has done for the past 2.5 years, considering the extraordinary circumstances that were thrust upon him, from the fact that he was a midseason coaching hire to the coronavirus pandemic to a bubble to a 56-game season to, like, barely any training camp before this season. I have a lot of respect for the job that John has done. But the problem is his contract is up. The team does have an option. He's an easy fall guy. You know, does he deserve it? I'm not convinced he does. But if changes are made higher above, you know, he is going to be, you know, it's going to be collateral damage, so to speak. But, you know, if things were to change, they would have to happen sooner rather than later, because you want someone to kick off the off season versus holding on to somebody that you may not want to do the job anymore.
Adam, good stuff. Appreciate your time. Thanks for lending some insights into what you put out there on The Athletic. Hope people will get a chance to read it, or if you're not subscribed, get that subscription to The Athletic so you can read it. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll come back, get your reactions. What do you think of that? Do you agree, disagree? What are your thoughts? Text line, phone lines, wide open, 615-737-1025. We'll be back.